Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 61st episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests for this episode include country singer and songwriter Josh Stewart of the Josh Stewart Band. We'll also visit with Sheriff Joe Arpaio. And our final guest will be country singer and songwriter Kylie Trout. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and share with your friends. Our first guest is country singer and songwriter Josh Stewart of the Josh Stewart Band. We love musicians, we love artists, and we love teachers too. And hey, we got both of them all in one accord. Josh Stewart Band, we've got Josh on the line with us. First off, Josh, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me to come in today.
And Josh, the Josh Stewart Band, you guys got new music out, and it is the holiday season, and man alive, 2020 more than any year, I think we need some Christmas spirit, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. This Christmas album's been something we've wanted to do for a long time, but we just didn't have time to really, do one, writing songs, practicing, recording, because we generally play, almost every weekend. But then 2020 happened, and we found ourselves doing absolutely nothing. So we've had a lot of time to put this project together, and we're really excited to share it with everybody.
Now, 2020, did you find it a year of hard to find the inspiration? I mean, aside from the Christmas music, did you find it a hard time for inspiration, or did you find it maybe inspiring you more than you would have expected?
Yeah, I'd actually say that I found myself more inspired this year. Like I said, we had a lot of time to just kind of sit around, and most of the time whenever we do albums or singles, I just feel like it's so rushed because there's only so many hours in the day, and we all work full-time jobs, and then on the weekends we're playing. So whenever we put together an album, I feel like we don't actually get to sit down and really get into the songs. We're just trying to, crank something out to have another song to put out there. But with this album, I had a lot of time to just, sit and think and really dig into the music, really dig into the lyrics. And I think it was a well-rounded, good project.
Now, for you, is Christmas a thing that you look forward to every year? And was a Christmas project, was it something that you put extra pressure on yourself about?
Oh, definitely. Christmas is definitely one of my favorite, seasons or favorite holidays. We really wanted this to be special because a Christmas album, in our opinion, is timeless. Every year when Christmas rolls around, we hear the same songs that have been performed, since all the way back to like 1930s and 40s. So we wanted something that every year when Christmas rolls around, people want to be able to listen to and enjoy it. All of our albums that we've done before this, you get about a year and a half out of it, and then it kind of gets forgotten unless you really have a great song that everyone wants to listen to. So we knew we wanted this to be extremely good, something that people want to remember and want to come back to year after year and listen to again.
And we mentioned early being a teacher in 2020, you've seen the goods, the bads from the music side and also the teaching perspective. And how has preparation for teaching changed, especially being in and out of virtual and in-person classes?
Well, it has changed quite a bit. I go back all the way to, the end of February and the beginning of March of this year when everything was somewhat normal. And then here in Ohio, our governor came out and said, we're going to do an extended spring break. It's going to be 2 weeks. We're going to shut the schools down, let everyone go home, and this thing will be gone. We'll come back 2 weeks later. Well, 2 weeks went by, and then we were told we're not coming back at all. So we went from thinking we're just having a long break to completely not returning to school. So we kind of, quickly had to adjust our lessons because we were not prepared for online school, the virtual learning, anything like that. So all of us were just as quickly as we could throwing videos together and lessons and trying to reach our students. And it was pretty stressful, but we got through it. We made it through the summer and we spent a lot of time this summer, updating our servers here at school and making sure every student has a Chromebook. So we started the school year knowing that we could eventually go to virtual learning, which we have now. And it hasn't been too bad. I really got to say my school district has done a fantastic job in preparing for this.
And how has the teaching side of it helped you on the artistic side of it? Because we know that so many things have had to go on virtual that way as well.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely the year of virtual performing, virtual teaching, video, YouTube, all that good stuff. We haven't played a live show since February 28th, and that was in Columbus, Ohio. That's the last thing that we did. So to reach our, our fan base and our followers, we've had to do a lot of live videos, whether it be on, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all those places, and find a new way to reach out to everybody. And that was another thing we really liked about this album. It's available on all the digital platforms. We have a couple music videos. So it's kind of our way of being able to still connect with our fans and our followers, staying current, but keeping everybody safe at the same time.
And if folks haven't listened to the Josh Stewart Band, where do you fall in genre wise? If you, everybody wants to typify into a genre. What subcategory, I guess, would you say that you guys fall into?
Well, that is a wonderful question that you just asked. Honestly, when I get asked that question, I say that we are, a modern country rock band. Now, I say that because our original music falls into that category. However, whenever you come and watch us perform, we play everything. We do country, we do classic rock, we do top 40, what's on the radio today. We go back to the 1950s with Chuck Berry and Jerry Lee Lewis and those guys. So we play a lot of different genres, but primarily when someone asks me what is our genre, I say country rock and I just roll with it.
Nothing wrong with that at all. And now, Josh, if folks want to find out more information, not only about the Christmas album, but all the other music that you got going on, and hopefully when tour dates roll around as well.
Oh, absolutely. So we have a social media presence on most sites. We have Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And our handles for all of those is at Josh Stewart Band. For every single one of those, no matter which one you go on, they can find us. We also have a website, which is joshstewartband.com. And we try to keep the same information on every single one. So if you only do Instagram or you only do Twitter, you're going to be able to find the exact information you could on the rest of the sites. We have links to our music videos, links to the album, which is available on Spotify, iTunes, all the digital sites. So no matter where you go, you're going to be able to connect with us and find out where we're performing, if we ever get a chance to perform again, and where you can find our music.
There you go. And again, the Holly Rockin' Christmas stream and download it today. And again, Josh Stewart, it has been great to have the opportunity to get to meet you a little bit today. Hopefully, after this all opens up, we'll get to see each other face to face, and hope you have a great rest of your week and also a great Christmas season as well, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And if we have just one more minute, could I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Well, I read up a little bit about you, and I saw that you also went to music school for, college. So my question to you is, what was your primary or principal instrument?
Vocal. I was a vocalist, and while I was there, I learned the keyboard too. So yeah, I still sing in a praise team to this day.
Well, that is fantastic. Fantastic.
See, you put the interviewer on the spot. See how you are?
Hey, I try.
Well, Josh, it was great to visit with you, brother.
Well, thank you. Same to you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Up next, we'll be talking with Sheriff Joe Arpaio about his latest release, An American Legend, the fascinating and untold story of America's most beloved crime fighter. And who better to talk about it with than the man himself, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, on the line. And first off, Sheriff Joe, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Hey, thank you for inviting me.
And Sheriff, how hard was it to put thoughts and ideas down on paper? Was it an easy process, or was it maybe difficult pulling some of those stories out?
Well, it was really tough in a way. I started it with another person that didn't work out, but fortunately I met David Thomas Roberts. He's from Houston, and we got this thing done in 5 months, which is pretty tough when you talk about your whole life, especially mine. I'm 88 years old, so, you know, I had a lot of years to talk about, especially my 56 years in law enforcement all over the world. So it was okay. I have a great memory, and I have documentation I kept since I was born, kept everything. So it was an easy situation, but you had to put it together, and I have much controversy, especially being sheriff for 24 years on the birth certificate of Obama's, you know, illegal immigration, crackdown, my tent city. I can go on and on and on. But I'm pretty proud of the fact. Sometimes I wonder how I survived for 24 years in the third largest sheriff's office in the country. In fact, I have the record. Nobody has been sheriff for 24 years in the county. So I wonder how I did survive. But I worked hard. I always try to be honest, very controversial on corruption and many other things. So it was a good run, and I'm not done yet.
And what is maybe the biggest misconceptions folks have about your time in service, and maybe law enforcement in general, in your opinion?
Well, as far as me personally, I'm from Springfield, Mass, and I joined the Army in 1950 when I graduated from high school and the Korean War broke out. I always wanted to be a cop when I was growing up, or a sheriff. And after I got discharged from the Army, I joined the D.C. Police Department at 21, and then Vegas short-time police department. But my big career was with the U.S. Bureau of Narcotics, known as the Drug Enforcement Administration. And I had 26 years with that agency, which is very exciting, working in Turkey, Mexico, you name it. So people I could never get the word out about my other life. They always talk about the pink underwear I made, the inmates wear, tested, on and on and on. So at least this book, and by the way, it's not the first book. When I was sheriff, I wrote two of them, America's Toughest Sheriff and Joe's Law. But once again, doing all my election, very difficult for people to understand that I lived another life. So maybe this time around, people will read it and understand, and they are saying, boy, we never knew you were here. You did this, you did that. So that's what's good about the book.
And I know the timing of the book is at the release also of the new book of Barack Obama. And you talked about controversy, and how much of that controversy part is in the book itself as well?
Well, you know, I don't know. I must be psychic in my life, because I know how to connect dots. It's about anything I can connect a dot, whether it's Watergate, Attorney General chewing out the FBI director in those days in a room in the hotel that only he and I was in. So I can go back to a lot of things, and even currently on the Russian steel situation, where a law firm that delivered the money to steal through Hillary is the same law firm that went after me with George Soros pumping in $3 million against my election. Same law firm that picked up a document in Hawaii and delivered it to Washington. So that law firm seems to be connected with me directly or indirectly. So that's not the only time I can connect the dots in current situations and my past life. So I don't know. I must be something wrong with me. And also, of course, I supported President Trump in July 2015. I introduced him. Nobody else would. And said three things. There's a silent majority out there. We're born on the same day, Flag Day. And you're going to be the next president. And that was 2015. And I've been with him ever since. My book is not about President Trump, although I mentioned he's been my hero, the only hero I ever had in my life, about five times in the book. But it's not a Donald Trump book. You know, if I wanted to make money or sell books, all I had to do was badmouth Trump, and everybody would be buying the book. I don't do that. It has nothing to do with money. So that's how I feel about the current president, and I'll be with him to the end. People don't like it. That's tough. I'm not a flip-flopper like many Republicans are, flip-floppers. They only support him because he's high up on the polls with the Republican Party. So that's really sad. I did learn in this last race that I had, which I lost. I don't understand how I ever lost in the primary. By 1%, I lost. But I found out who my friends were politically. I've been the campaign honorary chairman for Bush, Rick Perry, Mitt Romney. Of course, the governor. I got governors elected. But, you know, when you're taking some heat, they forget how to spell your name. And that's sad. There is no loyalty anymore, especially in politics. They use you for what they can get. And then when you're taking some heat, forget how to spell your name. And that's sad. After all my elections, it's finally hit me this time around. It made me a little disgusted somewhat with the political system.
And again, the new book, An American Legend, the fascinating and untold true story of America's most beloved crime fighter, Sheriff Joe Arpaio online. And again, Sheriff, thank you so much for your time this morning, and hope you have a great weekend and a happy holiday season as well.
Same way. Take care of yourself.
All right, guys, wrapping up the podcast today is our good friend, country artist and singer, songwriter, all that stuff, Kylie Trout. And first off, Kylie, good to visit with you, and I hope you're having a great start to the holiday season.
Yeah, thank you so much. I am, for sure. How are you?
Doing well, and we were talking before coming on, and Southern California, is it kind of hard to get in the holiday spirit whenever it's still sunny and 75?
I mean, for me, I mean, if you're not from California, I would see how it could be hard. But me, I've lived here all my life, so it's just kind of a normal thing. Sometimes it's like, maybe it's raining in December, but most of the time it's pretty warm, especially this year. It's been really warm. But, you know, we got the Christmas tree up, and that's all I need to get in the Christmas spirit.
Now, where did music first start for you, Kylie? Who instilled the love of music for you originally?
Yeah, so I've been listening to country music my whole life. I listen to a lot of rock, a lot of alternative. I'm kind of all over the place with my genre choices, but I sing country. It's my first passion. And my grandparents actually introduced me to it, and I connected with it from a very young age because, you know, country tells stories, and I love being able to relate with those stories, relating them with different things that go on in my life. And that's what made me want to sing. I wanted to share my stories and help other people the same way that music helped me. And some of my idols growing up were Carrie Underwood for sure. Listened to a lot of Martina McBride, a lot of George Strait. I love me some George Strait and Toby Keith. So yeah, kind of a mixture of my family and also listening to, you know, the big artists at the time.
Now, where do you find the soul? Where was the soul inspiration that we hear in your music?
The soul, I mean, I guess it's just kind of a personal thing that comes out of me. You know, tone-wise, I feel like I have a man voice. I have a very deep voice. So maybe that's where a little bit of it comes from, and the passion behind it, you know, just from growing up, dealing with hard times, and just being able to relate with it and put all I have into it. that's probably where it comes from.
Now, I've asked every songwriter that I've talked to, well, especially in the last 4 months, has inspiration for writing been harder, or has it maybe been a little different kind of an inspiration for you this year?
You know, it's been weird. It's been kind of on and off. You know, I feel like a lot of writers going through these times, you're not always around the people that you were around before, you know, in the industry. So maybe it is kind of hard to snap into that inspiration. Writer's block has been kind of a struggle a little bit, but I'm getting back. In the beginning of quarantine, you know, I was knocking out songs, because I would experience things in my life that I could live pre-COVID. But now, you know, I've been just at home, trying to find things to write about that are not related to, you know, putting up with my family, or like staying in the house. So it's been on and off, but getting back in it.
Now, what has been the worst experience during the quarantines? Maybe a Facebook Live or something. What's the worst that you had this year?
Honestly, I've been pretty, like, fortunately, everything's been pretty smooth with, you know, lives and everything. There's been a couple interviews where I feel so bad because my Wi-Fi sucks. So it's like cut out mid-sentence. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what did you say? And, you know, you feel so awkward because you have to repeat yourself so many times. So that gets kind of awkward. But honestly, other than that, the technology thing hasn't been that bad. I would say the biggest struggle is, you know, putting up with family every single day, because I still live at home. I'm 17. So that's kind of annoying. love them though. And just like not being able to do in-person shows. I feel like that's the hardest thing.
Now, have you played anything live? I've talked to some folks that they sang out of the back of a truck up by a park or something. Have you had to resort to that?
I have not had the chance to sing in the back of a truck. I would love to. but I have not done that. I've only done, I want to say, 2 or 3 live shows since like March. So it's been tough. It sucks.
Now the new single Extra, tell us where'd the inspiration come from this one? And, well, you don't want to put any blame on that, I don't guess, right?
Yeah. So this song, personal experience, you know, high school relationships, not being mature, guys who, you know, don't like staying in relationships, guys who go out of their way to be extra, as I describe it, not in the best way. So this is about an ex-boyfriend, and if I had to describe him in one word, it would be extra. You know, it describes some things in the song, you know, after we broke up, getting a girl to look just like me. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I totally wouldn't notice that. Just stuff like that, you know, following then unfollowing, playing that whole like social media game. No shade though, no shade. But yeah, I just wanted to write that song. And it was actually a funny writing process. I brought it to my good buddy and songwriter. His name is Jason Hamer. And I brought him the idea. And so we wrote the song, and I was like, ah, this doesn't feel complete. So I brought it to another songwriter, and his name is Mark Addison Chandler. He's awesome. But again, we rewrote the whole song, didn't feel complete. And then my family was like, hey, we can help you write it. And I was like, oh, okay. So we tried to write it. It didn't really work out. But then I took all those inspirations from different people and I rewrote the whole thing myself. And I felt like it was complete. And that is the version that you hear today.
There you go. Now, who are your musical, maybe songwriting idols?
Right now, I would say, no, I got to say Morgan Wallen and Luke Combs. Absolutely. Hands down. Love them. I love Hardy too. He's awesome. Devin Dawson as well. There's some insanely talented songwriters coming up right now, and it's awesome to watch.
Now, who are some of your favorite co-write partners? Maybe the ones that can maybe pull the best out of you.
I would say, you know, I've been writing with him for the longest. And like I mentioned before, his name's Jason. He's the man. He is the man. He's co-write co-written, I can't talk, co-written on a handful of my songs that I've recorded. He just gets it. You know, it's easier to write with some people than others, especially, you know, during these times with COVID and you got to do Skype calls and calls whenever to write. And some people aren't used to that. I'm used to that. Me and Jason write like that all the time. So it's just, you know, you got to find people that you click with that get your style, let you run with your style and, you know, aren't overbearing. So I'd say him for sure.
And what kind of goals or maybe what have you learned from 2020 that has maybe helped you set goals for 2021?
I would say, you know, just don't slack. Just do as much as you can. Because you never know how much, you know, you have until it gets ripped away from you. And honestly, I can't talk that bad about 2020 because it has helped me a lot to take a step back, find myself, you know, as an artist. I picked up guitar and I have written a lot of stuff. So, and it has, I think it's taught us all that lesson to just be grateful for what you have and don't take advantage of anything.
That's one thing I try to focus each time I talk to somebody is there's got to be at least one good thing that you've been able to find out about yourself.
So. Exactly. And that's always been my biggest thing throughout life is there's something good that comes out of every bad situation. You just got to take a step back and try to look at the positive side.
And I was telling you, I before we came on, I was checking out the single, checking out actually the lyric video. And to put a smile on folks' faces, especially when there's so much darkness out there, I mean, how good does that personally feel for you?
Oh, it feels awesome. That's always been my goal, you know, as a songwriter, singer, just that 3 minutes of happiness.
And if folks want to find out not only more about the single, upcoming tour dates, whenever those do become available as well, and all of your social media, where's the best place to keep up with all that?
Yes, you can go to my website. It's just KylieTrout.com. It has all the links to everything and all my social medias. I made it easy for everyone. It's just all at the Kylie Trout.
That's that is easy enough. Well, yeah. Kylie, it is it's been great to visit with you today. Appreciate your time and Merry Christmas and hopefully we'll catch up again real soon.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again for joining us for this 61st episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, or anything else you'd like to know, you can either find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, click the support tab and follow the instructions. If you have a special guest in mind, go ahead and email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Thanks again to Brandon Allen for strumming this theme song for us. We're going to let him play us out. We'll be back with episode number 62 coming up tomorrow.